Okay. Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to TNT in a new year with a new Sefer Shemot. What I like to focus on as we head into Sefer Shemot is the fact that the Ramban, and this won't be our shiur, but the Ramban, it's important to note, talks about how Sefer Shemot, we know, we call the book of Exodus, right? And but really, so it's Exodus, so we're leaving the exile. But it begins in exile. So really, it's a book of Galus. Really, it should be the book of Galus, of exile. And yet, I know, right, in the English they call it Exodus. And the Ramban, in his introduction, actually basically says it's Sefer Geula. He says this is the book of redemption, because ultimately. It gets us out of, we get out of Egypt, God gets us out of Egypt, and then we get the Torah, and then the rest of the book is finding our way back to be able to recreate that experience to bring God back into our midst, which occurred in the time of the Avos, in the time of our forefathers and foremothers, and that really culminates with the building of the Mishkan, with God's presence resting once again with us. And that's exactly how the book ends, and that's really what Geula is. That's what redemption, fully is. Living a redeemed life means that we have God in our midst, that we feel the presence of God in our lives. So, as we head in now into Sefer Shemos, let's think about how we can have God in our midst, how we can have a Kadosh Baruch Hu in our lives in a real way. And yes, we're living in a world right now of galus, of being far away from each other. It's probably the hardest thing that is a part of this Zoom concept in Shiurim is not being able to constantly. I love hearing from all of you and hearing the give and take and the banter and the questions and the comments are so important, and it's so difficult to have that in the in this Zoom world. But we make do, and we make do. And I appreciate everyone who's here, everyone who's spending this time with us to learn together and to try to grow together. So that is where we are in Galus, but really we're headed towards Geula, towards being back together, towards being back in shul, whatever that's going to look like. God willing. We turn the calendar year, and I don't have to go out on a limb to say that I really do believe be'emunah shleim with all my heart that we'll see the Kavod Hashem back in our lives together in the shul, in the community, whatever it looks like, whenever it's going to happen. But we're in a calendar year, Mirtz Hashem, where it's going to happen, whether it's 5781 or it's 2021. So we're gonna move right in to. We're not even going to talk about the Galus. We're going to talk about the Geula. So here we go. Sharing the screen, going into my where'd it go? Sorry. Let me try that again. Is it here? New. That's funny. I had it prompted. Okay, I guess I didn't. All right, go back into Safari. And we are picking up Shemos, Perek Bet, chapter 2, really at the very end, but really beginning with Perek Gimel. So Moshe ran away, right? That's all I have to tell you. Moshe's born, he runs away. We're going right to Geula. We're going right to Moshe. He runs away. And he meets a girl, he falls in love, Baruch Hashem, and here he is as a shepherd. So before we even go into the vision that Moshe has, what we need to explore is this idea of being a shepherd. Like why a shepherd here? Why does that how does that work that he immediately becomes a shepherd? So this is one of my favorite kliyakars in all of the Torah. It's a very short one. But I think it's exceedingly meaningful and important to us in, you know, kind of our literally our everyday lives. So here it is. Sorry, I'm just stretching the screen here. I don't know why it's not working. There we go. All right. So I just wanted to be able to see everyone. Okay. So Moshe is a shepherd. So skip a little bit and then come over here. Aval mikol makom hutrach lodia shaya roe ki rov anavim boli de nevua mitoch hariya. He says that most prophets become prophets. They achieve their prophecy by being shepherds. Remember, if everyone might recall, great movie, Good Will Hunting, great movie, right? And what's his name? Robin Williams, Zichrono Lebracha. My daughter Ella she's been trying to watch all classic movies. She's watched like some real classics, like Gone with the Wind, The Shining, and so on. But I wanted to give her some other classics. We saw Shawshank. She watched Good Will Hunting. So in Good Will Hunting, Robin Williams, Zichrono Lebracha, asks Matt Damon. He says, Will, what do you want to do? What do you want to be? So what does the wise guy, Will Hunting, says? I want to be a shepherd. I want to be a shepherd. Why does he want to be a shepherd? All of our prophets were shepherds. All of the Avos were shepherds. David HaMelech, what did he do for a living? He's a shepherd. Why are they shepherds? He says, because you achieve prophecy through shepherding. Why? It's not about the animals. It's about where it takes you. Ki anavua tzricha hitbodedut. Because nevuah requires, hitbodedut is a funny word. On one level, it means loneliness, levadad, right? Quarantine is bidud, to be quarantined, right? So you could become a prophet by being in quarantine. No, hitbodedut means silent reflection. Hitbodedut means you're alone with your thoughts. You're meditating. You're alone with God. You're alone with nature. That's hitbodedut. One of the most amazing things we did on the most recent men's mission we did, we started out in the, literally out in the desert, in the Negev. We stayed at that Rimon, what's it called? That was a beautiful hotel down there. I forgot what it's called. In the Rimon, crater, right? And we got a guy with a guitar and we started singing a little bit. We're under the stars. And we just walked out, literally on our own, and everyone had their own space in the middle of the desert, pitch black. And we just looked up at the stars, and we davened. It was one of the most meaningful prayers I have ever had. What kind of prayer was it? I was just talking to God. I was alone with God. To this day, this was a couple of years ago, I remember exactly what I said. I remember exactly what I was thinking about. Very holy, very, very like lofty. Why? You're alone. You're able to see the majesty of God's creation, right? And you're filled with a sense of transcendence. The Al Yedei, the Kli Yakar says, Sheyira Hashamayim, Maasei Yedei Elohim. And this is, by the way, the Kli Yakar, you would think he's some hippie. You know, he's not a hippie living on the countryside. He's not even like a Hasidic, you know, countryside. You know, he lives in Prague. In Czechoslovakia. He's a city. He lives in the city. But again, the point is, he understands that when you see the heavens, you're able to see God's handiwork, I'm able to see your name, I'm able to see your handiwork. So that your thoughts are solely on God. You're connected to God in a way that other people aren't. And by the way, you're not around people. You're around, you know, the sheep. It's just you out there. It's you disconnected from the world, from people, and all you have is God. That's David HaMelech. That's how King David became who he was, this, right, the sweet singer of Israel, because of his ability to connect, to just be with God and no one else. This is not, you're not capable of doing this very much when you're sitting in your house. Right? And by the way, think of that, sitting in our house now, right? What stocks, what businesses, what industries have like just flown through the roof during the quarantine? Netflix, Peloton, right? All of these tech stocks, these tech gadgets, because I can't be alone with myself. That's like scary. So Fred Danzig asks, so is it okay for Jews to buy candy canes? They're not only true to Jesus, who was a chef. That's a good question. Can we buy candy? I don't know. Yeah, I mean. All right. You know, I mean, they're sweet. They taste good. I don't think only Fred knows that that's what they're for. So I think we could eat candy canes. But maybe it's to remind us not of Jesus, but for us, it'll be to remind us of David HaMelech, to remind us of Abraham, to remind us of Moshe Rabbeinu. Very good. You don't find it when you're living in your house. You have all these distractions. Or you're doing something else, some other work in the field. Except for a shepherd who's sitting, he's just sitting there. He's available all day and he can focus on what's important. That's Moshe. So Moshe goes out, and, you know, we know this about Moshe. I know there was a really great, what's it called that I missed? A great shiur by Yael Ziegler, who talked about the psychological makeup of Moshe. I had a wonderful wedding on Sunday, so I have a good excuse. But either way, Moshe, we know, wasn't much of a people person. He loved people, but it was hard for him to relate to people. Think about it. One of the reasons, one of the arguments that Moshe gives to Hashem about you know, eventually going to save the Jewish people was, he's like, I'm not an Ishtvarim. I'm not a good speaker. I'm not a people person. What did Hashem say? Oh, don't worry. I'll give you Aaron. Aaron's a people person. You could go schmooze with it. You could, he'll schmooze with the people. You just do your job. You do what you have to do. Aaron will take care of the other stuff. But Moshe is extremely head, you know, in the clouds, meditating. He bodedut, something all of us could and should think about, taking time out to just be, to just think about kind of where we're at. There was an interesting little piece. It was on Chassidut, exploring the inner world of Chassidus. And Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg gave an introduction to it. This was on New Year's Eve. And one of the things he said, it was a challenge. He said, I give people a 3-minute challenge. The 3-minute challenge is to take 3 minutes a day. And you can think about how hard this is. I wouldn't even say 3 minutes. I would say take 90 seconds. 90 seconds each day where you're not doing anything. You're not checking your emails. You're not checking your phone. You're not watching Netflix. You're not doing this. You're not handling this for someone. You're not where you're just taking stock. You're just thinking. You're just there. You, God, whatever else is going on. 90 seconds. That's Ibodadut. All of us need it, right? Moshe, that was his life. And that's how he comes to the revelation at the snap. And that's where we're going to go. So Vayavo El Haro Elohim Chareva. So he ends up, you know, bringing, you know, taking the flocks, you know, far into the desert. And he's wandering the desert and he gets to the mountain of God. Right? That's Har Sinai, which is really cool that if, just to think about that the sneh, right? The burning bush is Har Sinai, right? Eventually it's going to be there, right? God says, oh, go, don't worry, you're going to be here again. That's the sign that you know this is true. Ta'abduna te'luim b'har hazeh. But he gets to Har Sinai. Vayera malach Hashem elav labat eish mitoch hasneh. So an angel of God appears to him in a pillar of fire through this bush. Vayar v'hine hasneh bo'er ba'eish. And he sees that the bush is burning with fire, but it's not being consumed. All right, so we're going to get into this a little bit now. So says the Kli Yakar, what's going on here? B'marezu rabu adeot, ki yesh omrim shehi al shem imo anochi b'tzara. Many people say that it's, you know, Hashem saying, here I am. I'm in this bush. I'm in this thorn bush. I'm burning, as if to say it's God, right? Saying, hey, I'm with you in pain, right? I'm burning as well, right? So in some level, it seems perhaps that God is representative of this bush. The question is, well, who the thorn bush is? So he brings up one idea that it's God. Okay. Alkeni glai lav v'sneh, et shafal v'namuch. Therefore, right, God appears to Moshe as a very lowly, humble, you know, a thorn bush. It's low to the ground. It's humble. No one who cares about a thorn bush. No, God's like, no, I'm in the thorn bush. I'm with you guys. Well, the Pirush Rashi, Eino miyushav klal, lama dafka b'sneh. He's like, but according to Rashi, like, that's very nice, but why a thorn bush? I don't know. Let him be a strawberry bush. Those strawberries are low to the ground. Let him be a cactus. I don't know. Right? Why thorns? Why a thorn bush? Miyeshomrim, shasneh remez l'siblutan shel Yisrael. So he says that perhaps maybe the thorns represent the burdens, the persecution, the pain, the suffering of the Jewish people. Ki esh hatzarot mi'lakachat svivav ve'inenu ukal. That the esh hatzaros, that the fire of all of the tzaros are all around them, right? And I guess because the thorn bush it's kind of rolled up and whatever. There's fire everywhere, and it's kind of, you know, there's fire everywhere. The thorns are everywhere, but still it won't be consumed. Alder chitzay kalim vehim einan kalim. Right, you're not being destroyed. Fine. Ulufim asher pirashti lamala b'pasuk vayakutzu mipnei bnei Yisrael. And now he says, I want to reference to you something else. That maybe the thorns and the thorn bush actually doesn't represent God and doesn't represent the Jewish people. Maybe it represents someone else entirely. Okay. And he references an earlier, perush that he gives on a pasuk in the previous chapter. We'll see it right now. One second. Hold on. So. There's a pasuk that talks about like why the Egyptians turned on the Jews, and it says, hold on, here it is. It says, "Vayakutsu." Mipnei bnei Yisrael. It says that as much as they oppress them, kenyir v'chasheya anu oto kenyir bevechenyir froats. Right? They, no matter what happened, they're pushing back, and the Jews just keep getting larger and you know more numerous. Vayakutsu mipnei bnei Yisrael, and they hated them. They were like disgusted. Vayakutsu, ugh, they were disgusted by the Jewish people. So what does this mean? Vayakutsu. So it's they were kotzim. Look at the kliyakar again, quoting Rashi. Perish Rashi, ki kotzim hayu beinehem. They were like thorns in their eyes. You guys are thorns in our sides. V'ratzalomer she yisrael nimshul beinehem l'kotz machibul l'silon mamir. They were like thorns in their sides. Ve'ina lashon mashmakach. The kliyakar says, that doesn't make any sense, Rashi. Try remembering, mean pnei bnei Yisrael. It says that they were thorns, vayakutsu, mipnei bnei Yisrael. Like, what does that mean? Ve'echayu Yisrael kekotzim mipnei bnei Yisrael. How could the Jewish people have been like thorns because of the Jewish people? That doesn't make any sense. Ve'od vayakutsu b'shuruk levshon nifal, etc. He gives you the grammatical reason why it doesn't work either. So then he says as follows. Alkeini reli. Sheha mitzrim nimshalu b'nei atzmam lekotzim. Vayakutsu mipnei bnei Yisrael, the Egyptians saw themselves as kotzim, as thorns, as thorn bushes, because of the Jewish people, or in the face of the Jewish people. What does that mean? Ki mideracha olam she'okrin min asadeh hakotzin kedei latat b'mkomam netiyah meshubachat. What do you do with thorns? When you're clearing out a field, why do you clear out a field of thorns? What are you doing? You clear it out. I remember I went on Machach Ba'aretz. Maybe some of you went on Machach also or worked at a kibbutz. We worked at a kibbutz. My daughter's going on Machach this summer, God willing, going to Israel. So we worked on a kibbutz, I remember. And what did we have to do with the kibbutz? There was like this giant flatbed truck following us around in this giant field. And we just had to pick up these large, like boulder type rocks and throw them onto the flatbed. Why? We were clearing out the field, right? The field needed to be, you know, plowed, tilled with whatever, the cucumbers, the tomatoes they were growing. So we had to clear out the field. What do you do with thorns? You pull out the thorns. What does the gardener come? He comes to pull out your weeds so that what? So that you could plant the actual fruit or the actual tree, the actual produce that you're looking to grow in that field. So says the Kli Yakar. The Egyptians saw the Jewish people and they said, oh my God, we're like kotzim in their eyes. We're like the thorns. Meaning what? Kacha shvua mitzrim. Achar sherou, right here. Achar sherou ratzona el yitbarach. Once they saw that the Jewish people, they are multiplying, they are really growing in number. They're like, oh my God, God wants the Jewish people to take over Egypt. We're the thorns. They're going to pull us out, uproot us, and kick us out of our own nation. They're a fifth column. They're going to kick us out. And we will be like the thorns that are kicked out of our own country. That's the issue. That's the problem. That's why the Egyptians saw themselves as the thorns that are going to be removed so that Bnei Yisrael can settle in Egypt. Now, obviously, we know how wrong that is. The Jewish people are going, to Canaan, to Israel, but that's not what seems to happen. This family comes and all of a sudden, look what's going on. Okay. Now, if we flip back, to our pasuk and back in Perek Yimel, you'll see what's going on. So he says, what does it mean? When he compares, who's compared to the thorns? So he's saying it's not God. It's not the Jewish people. It's the Egyptians. Hashem was showing Moshe, these Egyptians, who see themselves as the thorns that are being uprooted, and right, that we're gonna get rid of them, we're gonna destroy them, and take over their land, they're not going to go away easily. Ki yirmoz al paro. Yes, I want you to redeem the Jewish people, I want you to get them out. But paro, sha'afal pi she'esha tzars mislakachat tzvibo, ever v'zam, v'tzara mikol makom einenu ukal. But Paro, the thorn, the chief thorn bush, fire's going to be raging all around him. Meaning, they're going to be what? Plagues, right? Barad, there's going to be fire. Is going to be all sorts of terrible things that are going on around him. But he's not going to fold. He's not going to be consumed. Ki yitein bo HaKadosh Baruch Hu koach lisbol kol hamakot. God's saying to Moshe, this is not going to be easy. And I'm going to give Paro the ability to deal, right, with all of these makos and not give in so quickly. So this is a major mission, and it's not going to end quickly. And the reason why I'm setting you up here is I need you to go out there, Moshe, and show what I'm capable of. Show what it means when Hashem says it's time to be redeemed, when Hashem says you're messing with the wrong people. Okay, very nice. Dabar Achir. Another idea. Remez l'masha ne'mar achein oda ha'davar. Mipnei ma Yisrael shruyin b'tzara, yoter b'kola umos b'fishyesh b'hem dal torin, mashmim kol anot b'charuf migidufim al shechvei v'arei. Kikotzim halalu. He says another idea, totally different idea. That going back to saying, no, the Kotzim are the Jewish people. But why a thorn bush? Why are the Jewish people a thorn bush? Because one thing unique about thorns is that when a thorn bush is on fire, usually when something's on fire, it's on fire. You don't hear anything. But when thorns are on fire, what do you hear? Yeah, you hear a crackle. Thank you, Jeff. Exactly. You hear a crackle, right? You hear the crackle. And what's the idea? The idea is, you know what's happening? Do you know why the Jewish people are in this mess? Because they can't stop talking about each other. They can't stop complaining about each other. Why did Moshe, if you recall, right, the story, where why does Moshe leave Egypt? Why does he flee Egypt? Because remember, he goes out on that day and he kills the Egyptian. And the next day, he sees two Jews fighting. And what do they say to him? He says, stop fighting, guys. Come on. Don't fight amongst yourselves. We have our own tzaras with the Egyptians. And what do they say? Oh, what, are you going to kill us like you killed that guy? And Moshe says, oh, my God. Achein noda hadavar. Now I know why these people are still in exile. Because they're horrible to each other. Even in, while the fire is burning us up, we're still talking trash about each other. It's unbelievable. Kekotzim alalu mashmim kol. Kishu boer ba'ish. Kach Yisrael, just like these kotzim, these thorns that elicit a crackle, a noise, a sound while it's burning in fire. Afilu bizman she'ish atzarf mislakachat svivav. Mikomokum kolecha b'chaviro kotz machov. V'silon mamir k'minhag dorod halalu v'tamid mashmim kol k'kol asir. We're like a boiling pot. We don't stop. We don't stop. Think about it. Think about the stories that you heard. Oh, you know, the Europeans. Oh, the Poles. You know, you were talking about Holocaust survivors. You know, people are in the Holocaust. Oh, but the Poles don't talk to the Hungarians. The Germans don't talk to the Poles. And I mean, come on. But this is who we are. This is who we are. Think about when we talked about this a few weeks ago. Like, what's happening with this ridiculous, with the COVID and the way it's like, it's dividing our people, right? And we have people who are not listening, and it's so maddening. And you just want to like, come on, guys, right? And we're talking about them, and they're talking about us. And it's just this thing, it doesn't stop. It's like we're prolific at, you know, continuing to sow discord, even in bad situations. If any of one of you saw The Valley of Tears, I don't know if I mentioned it last week. It's an amazing series on HBO Max. It's about the Yom Kippur War, based on, you know, true events, obviously, in the Yom Kippur War. But one of the things that they're highlighting in The Valley of Tears was the social justice unrest that was going on in Israel, right? It's like this amazing time after the Six-Day War. We're like on top of the world. And yet the Mizrahi Jews, the quote, Middle Eastern Jews, the Jews from the Arab lands, the Moroccans and the Yemenites, and are being persecuted by the white European Zionists. We're all Jews. We're crazy. Well, what's going on? Thank God. Baruch Hashem, it got better. But like, my God. What's wrong with us, right? But that's what's happening. And that's what the Kli Yakar says beautifully. He says that, v'tamid mashmin kol kevel fine, ki kol asirim tachat asir, ki kol aksil. He says, just like the sound of a pot boiling, you know, when a pot is boiling, you hear a noise. So too, that's the sound of a fool. That's what an idiot, a fool sounds like. V'zui kar asiba li Yisrael, v'yok v'golus. And this is the ikar, this is the main reason why we're still sitting in Galus. It's because of this reason. Because mitzad asina ve'akina sheveinayim. It's the hatred and the jealousy and the talking about these people and that community and that household and that so-and-so and that shul. It's terrible. We do it more so than any other nation. Ubalei alashon hishmiu et kol Yisrael ein naki. Ki tetzei eish ha-machloket misela ha-machloket ha-avos mibarim eish ve-abonim milakten eitzim. This stuff just, you know, sows discord. Al-kein ba'ara bahem eish Hashem. And that's why the fire of God, sprung up within us. Kach ne'amar ve-hasneh inenu u'kal. And that's why it says that the bush wasn't consumed. For even though we could be persecuted and all these terrible anti-Semites are all over us, irrespective of that, this thorn bush, right? The crackling, the constant talking, it's contained, and it's sustained in every generation. It never goes away. There are always going to be these kotzim in the vineyard of God, in the Jewish people. And I think that's what you have to understand. I have a really good friend, Temani in Israel, Rav, who's just an incredibly holy, holy man. And he'd say to me sometimes, he calls me Rav Shalom. Rav Shalom, in every tomato patch, there are some rotten tomatoes. In every tomato patch. So don't focus on the rotten tomatoes, right? That's our problem. Too often, we focus on the negative. We focus on the one or two negative people that we encounter, the this, the that, and we lose sight of the rest of it. And that's what he's saying to Moshe. Moshe, I know you're going to encounter some rotten tomatoes. I know you're going to encounter a bunch of thorns, and there are going to be people who are going to make you crazy. And it's true. Moshe goes there and they're yelling and they're screaming, you made it worse. What'd you do? Et cetera, et cetera. He says, don't focus on that. That's always going to be there. But that's just who we are. It's the Jewish people. You know, we're known as the Am Kishe Oref. We're a stiff-necked people. That's who we are. It makes us, it's our greatest Achilles heel, right? It makes it that in Israel, there's like 8,000 political parties now. Like labor is like apparently, literally going down. I don't even know. They're saying they don't even know if labor is going to be in the government. And there's all these like 10 new parties. Why? Because every Jew, thinks he's, his opinion is the right opinion. But that's also our greatest quality, right? Because, we're able to excel and we're able to succeed and we're able to be stubborn and say, gosh darn it, I'm going to go and vaccinate a million people in 2 weeks, supplies be damned. We'll figure it out. That's who we are. And that's what Hashem, is telling Moshe. And then he talks about why it's a pillar of fire, and so on and so forth. But I think what's important here to end off on is going back to how Moshe starts. Moshe starts, hitbodedut. It's just him. It's just God. And then God says, all right, Moshe, you're ready. But here's your first lesson. Your first lesson is that not everyone is going to be what you want them to be. Dealing with people means that you recognize that it's not going to be so simple. And there's going to be some crackling and there's going to be some difficulty. But ultimately, I want you to know that you have to appreciate the vineyard in its totality. And don't hone in on the thorns and the thistles that you may find. And everyone thinks on some level they're the thorn bush, right? It's the Egyptians think they're the thorn bush. The Jews think they're the thorn bush. Moshe's going to think some guys are thorns. Hashem says, I know you'd rather just be in a desert alone, but that's not going to redeem the Jewish people. The world needs you, and the world needs you to engage. Because when we do that, that's how actually we can bring Geula, as we began with. We could take the world, we could take the Jewish people, we could take our lives, our families. When we engage, we can take all of those spheres of our lives from galus, from exile, into Geula, into redemption, from darkness into light. And we all be zoche to experience God in that space, so that we can totally understand and recognize and appreciate the vineyard of delights, of experiences that Hashem has put in this world, and not let the thorns and the thistles, the kotzim, take us down so that we can be ge'ulim, so we can be redeemed. Have a wonderful evening. Have a great week. And I'll see you soon. Thank you, Chevra. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.